woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom.
Bethel AME Church in the Jamaica Plain section of Boston was rocking Monday night as hundreds of people of all faiths gathered for what the Reverend Dr. William Barber calls a revival tour. Reverend Barber spoke at last week's Democratic National Convention. He said the heart of America's democracy is in need of a moral defibrillator.
Is there somebody that has a heart for the poor and a heart for the vulnerable? Then stand up.
Reverend Barber is well known in North Carolina, where he's a pastor and president of the state's NAACP chapter. But he's also one of the organizers of the Moral Mondays movement in Raleigh, weekly vigils calling for a progressive agenda. Now he's traveling the country, rallying others to take a stand. And he joins us now. Reverend Barber, welcome to Here and Now. At the DNC, you said, when religion is used to camouflage meanness, we know we have a heart problem in America. Wasn't that a bit of a swipe at conservative evangelicals who politically and socially might have a very different set of values than you?
Well, it wasn't a swipe. It was a direct statement that anybody, I don't care what you call yourself, you can say you're conservative, but I would say, speaking the truth in love, if you're conservative, biblically you want to conserve love, not hate. You want to conserve justice, not injustice. You want to conserve mercy and not meanness. And when we see persons who are so quiet, who claim to be, Christian or religious, and they're quiet on the issue of health care, they're quiet on the issue of public education, they're quiet on the issue of living wages, they're quiet on the issue of justice for immigrants and fair treatment for the LGBT community, and many times quiet on the issue of dealing with the proliferation of guns, but they're so loud when it comes to castigating and sometimes demonizing people in the LGBT community and others, that is in fact counter. When they say they're going to put their support behind a candidate that is openly racist and openly promoting a xenophobia, that is deeply problematic. And we've seen that before in history. You know, there were those who claimed to be religious, claimed to be Christian, who stood up against Dr. King, who in the late 1800s stood up against those who tried to reform this country and move it away from the vestiges of slavery. So we've seen this before, and it has to be challenged.
And do you see your revival tour as equal parts political and moral?
I wouldn't separate the two. I think that's a false dichotomy. Mm-hmm. The Bible is deeply political, but it's not left versus right or Republican versus Democrat. If you read the scriptures, for instance, Isaiah 10 says, "Woe unto those who legislate oppressive decrees." That was a direct challenge to the political structures 2,600 years ago. Or you get Jeremiah 22 where it says, go down to the king's palace and tell him not to pass policies that hurt children and hurt women. So it's not a Democrat versus Republican politics, but it's calling us to move our politics to higher ground. And we've seen this. Every major progressive thing that has happened in America, from the ending of slavery, women's suffrage, the New Deal, the civil rights movement, always had a deep moral underpinning where people moved away from their particular parties and said there's some things higher based on our deepest principles and deepest values.
Reverend, we're at a tough place today in America in terms of race relations. Young men of color are being incarcerated at an alarming rate. The relationship between the black community and the police is volatile and deeply strained. How do you engage young people who are cynical about the political process to join your so-called moral revolution?
Well, we have a large contingency of young people in the Moral Monday movement in North Carolina, for instance. Many of them were involved in civil disobedience. One of the ways you do it is you reframe the imagination. Young people are not so much interested, again, in this left-right issue. They're interested in how do we deal with some issues that are just right versus wrong. And the fact of the matter is we have this legitimate rage and outrage about the killing of African-Americans, unarmed African-Americans by police. That's not an anti-police position. It's actually a pro-police position, because bad cops make it bad for good cops, and good cops would be challenging bad cops. And so young people are saying, we are going to challenge racism, but that's not the only racism. You have the false incarceration. You have the high incarceration rates of African-Americans that are deeply different than our population rates in this country. We not only must deal with those issues, we must deal with race in terms of policies like voter suppression, policies. For instance, when you deny living wages, 54% of African Americans make less than a living wage. So we need a grown-up conversation about race. We need to ask this question: why is it that in the poorest counties and areas of this country, they continue to elect candidates who are the most adverse to the policies that would help the poor, when in fact you have 8 million more poor white people than you have black, you have 5 million more white people than Latinos that are poor? We need a grown-up conversation about race and class in this country, and our young people are pushing us to do that.
Reverend, in your life, who's inspired you and shaped your ideas on civil rights and justice?
Well, you know, my father, I was introduced at 5 years old. I didn't really have a choice. My daddy was invited to come back to North Carolina to help desegregate public schools, his home area. I was born in Indianapolis 2 days after the March on Washington. The joke in my family was that I waited to the 30th to see what would happen on the 28th. But my father was called back to North Carolina. I entered segregated public schools so I could be a part of the first to go to the elementary school. Now, this is in 1968. This is 14 years after Brown. People need to understand Brown versus Board of Education happened, but 14, 15 years later, many areas in the South were still not even attempting desegregation. So early on, I learned from my father, who was a trained theologian as well, is that you cannot be Christian and not be concerned about justice. You cannot be Christian and just be limited to your work inside the sanctuary and have no concern about the public square.
The Reverend William Barber is president of the North Carolina NAACP and co-organizer of the Revival Tour for a Moral Revolution of Values. Reverend Barber, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. God bless. Take care.